You know, there's always been one particular subject that the church has received a lot of questions from people over the years. And that questioning actually goes all the way back to our roots in the worldwide Church of God decades ago. For example, you probably, if you remember the church many, 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 many years ago, would remember a booklet with this cover, Life After Death. If you don't remember that particular booklet, you probably remember this booklet, After Death, Then What? After Death, Then What? More recently, Church of God, a worldwide association, produced a booklet entitled The Last Enemy, What Really Happens After Death. It is a subject that people are fascinated by. It is a subject that people are concerned with because it is a subject that people just simply are looking for answers because it is the great unknown. Again, when we look at the personal correspondence department years ago and even into the 21st century, the most notable question oftentimes that a person will ask is, what happens after death? It is a great unknown for millions or perhaps even billions of people. Will I ever see Grandma Lucille again? What about Uncle Chester? What's going to happen to him? Is there a true heaven and hell, or is that just hyperbole to scare people into doing the right thing? For those of us who have been called into the church, we, sitting in this room or within earshot of my voice, I believe, know the truth. We know what happens at death, and we know the destiny of man. In fact, every year, we are privileged to be able to not only understand, but to rehearse what happens to the dead. We rehearse it through the keeping and the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. We rehearse it through the last great day and even beyond that day. Because again, there is an event that will take place after that last great day. So, you're probably sitting there, here we are, December the 15th, 2018, and you're asking the question, why are you talking about life and death? Why are you talking about these things when you just said we rehearsed them not 90 days ago? One of the things that I find happens year after year after the feast is there are questions that sometimes people have as an end result of a message they may have heard at the feast or something they heard or thought they misheard, and they will come to me and say, I'm confused as to what we teach and what we believe. This was the situation this year, and it was not a situation where they necessarily did not know. As one individual laid it out for me, I said, you are correct, you understand. However, the way it was explained in a particular sermon led the person to think, maybe I don't understand it completely. But in terms of the questions about the resurrections, I would ask the simple question as follows, or the simple following questions. Do we really understand the resurrections? Do we understand how many of them there are? Do we understand who will be in each one of those resurrections? Do we understand why there are three? I already gave you the answer to the second question when I asked you, do you know how many resurrections there are? And do we understand what makes each one of those resurrections unique? Would we have the ability, in a given circumstance, if someone asked the question, what happened to my Grandma Lucille when she died? What's going to happen to Uncle Chester? Would we, as a member of God's church, would we have the ability to explain to somebody what is going to happen to them? You see, it goes far beyond just understanding the information as far as the fundamental belief. The resurrections is one of the fundamental beliefs of the Church of God, a worldwide association. It, in fact, is fundamental belief number 20. Let me read exactly what is on our website with regards to what we believe. It says the following, fundamental belief number 20, the resurrections. Being resurrected from the grave is the only hope of eternal life for deceased human beings. The scriptures reveal that there will be three distinct future resurrection periods for those who have died. At the return of Jesus Christ, a first resurrection to eternal life will take place for all of God's faithful servants who have died throughout the ages. These individuals will rise from their graves, and along with living humans who have the Holy Spirit residing within them, will be changed into immortal spirit beings. After the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, there will be a second resurrection to physical life for the majority of all people who have ever lived. These people will then have their first and only opportunity to hear, understand, and respond to God's calling. If they become converted, they will receive eternal life. There will be a third resurrection for the incorrigible to a brief period of consciousness in which they will receive the righteous judgment of God, their destruction in the lake of fire. This resurrection is reserved for those who have rejected God's offer of salvation, reaping eternal death, also called the second death, from which there is no further resurrection. Now again, that is the explanation of the resurrections. But when someone says, what's going to happen to my grandma Lucille? They're not going to be with you very long if you sit there and start reading the fundamental belief number 20, the resurrections. You will lose them. That I promise you. My purpose today is to see if I can explain the three resurrections in a somewhat unique circumstance. Because again, sometimes within the Church of God community, there is a lack of understanding with regard to the resurrections, that somehow some would believe that people have three shots at it. You know, sort of like living in California, if on your third felony, you get a third felony arrest, it's the three strikes and you're out. It doesn't work that way. Every human being is given one opportunity, but we have an understanding that there are three separate and distinctive resurrections. We're going to look at that this afternoon. The title for the sermon this afternoon is, I Am the Three Resurrections. I Am the Three Resurrections. You will understand what I mean by that here in a moment. Resurrection in the Greek simply means a rising up, a standing again. An individual who has died, we come to understand and realize, will stand in their grave at some point in time. Again, we will see that in Scripture here briefly. Now, the word resurrection can be used in a literal sense and in a figurative sense. For example, as a figurative sense, you may have a business plan for 2019 and you sit around the boardroom and you say, let's resurrect the discussion about business for 2019. That is figurative from the standpoint of bringing up the business plan that you're talking about. What we are talking about this afternoon is a literal rising up of human beings from their graves. That is what we are concerned with today. Now, I use the term in the title of this sermon, I Am the Three Resurrections. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? There are three resurrections, as I've already stated, that you understand, and they all fit into the last four holy days and just beyond. All of us, let me repeat that, all of us will come up in one of those resurrections. Resurrection 1, Resurrection 2, or Resurrection 3. Now, if you are a seasoned member of the church, that's just a polite way of me telling you that you're old, you've been around for a long time, you know the scriptures. And so when we get into fundamental beliefs, it can be a little bit dry. It can be a little bit didactic by just simply going through the scriptures. I am going to do something a little bit different today. We are going to go through the scriptures. But what I want us also to understand is within this first, within this second, and within this third resurrection, what will these people actually see? What will they hear? What will they realize? What will others see? What will they hear and realize from their past? In other words, looking at the present when they are resurrected, but also in the past. Will they recognize the deception? Will they recognize the deception of what they have been under? And will they recognize what they are reading in the Bible? Now, this is where I put the disclaimer in. You know, you've got the infomercial and the disclaimer that says some of the whatever it is of this product are not necessarily endorsed by the company. In order for me to do this, I am going to take some artistic license. That is a polite way of saying that I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of perhaps speculation in terms of what may appear at that particular moment in time. I hope that you will indulge me and understand that part of what I'm dealing with will be an artistic sense of what is going on and what is happening. We are not there yet. All we have is what Scripture tells us, and so we have to extrapolate a little bit. And again, as I said, I will use a little bit of artistic license. This afternoon, I'm going to introduce you to three people, and they're going to tell their story in their words. Let me introduce all three of them as they step up to the microphone this afternoon. My name is Josh Berenson. I am the first resurrection. My name is Jim Simpson. I am the second resurrection. My name is Jeff Danielson. I am the third resurrection. Let's hear from these three individuals again as we go through the scripture, understanding the resurrections. My name is Josh Berenson. I am the first resurrection. I was born on March the 30th, 1952, and I died September the 5th of 1982. My parents had been called by God as they came into the truth long about, 1970. I tagged along for a while after my teenage years ended and I was a young adult. I came to see that this was the truth and I followed it. Mr. Smith, our pastor, baptized me about 6 months after we began counseling. My wife, Lisa, who I had married shortly after 1976, had actually been baptized about 6 months sooner than I had. She often joked with me that I was a slower learner than she was. I don't really remember much about what happened on September the 5th, 1982, when I died. I was driving home from work, and I saw this horrible accident unfolding in front of my eyes. I tried to avoid it. I swerved. I lost control of the SUV I was driving. It rolled over and over, down an embankment, and finally came to a stop. I knew I was hurt badly. I had a sensation of warm blood. It was my blood that was flowing out. The pain was awful. But then I became drowsy. I became cold. And I don't remember anything after that. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go back to the scriptures. That refer directly. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 being one of the three resurrection chapters that we find in the Bible. Notice the Apostle Paul here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's pick up another passage that deals with the resurrections. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll pick it up in verse 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. It says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Speaking again of Jesus Christ. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Those, again, brethren, are the scriptures that you are fully aware of that speak to the first resurrection." But let's stop for a moment and ask Josh Berenson what he sees, what he feels, and what he witnesses at that particular moment in time. Wood splinters, glass breaks, dirt flies in the air. I made it. This is the millennium. Wow, Mr. Smith was right. I remember the sermons and Bible studies that he gave about the time right before Jesus Christ's return. As I look out as far as the eye can see, I can tell that we've got a lot of work to do to restore all things. I hope I get to see Lisa and my parents soon. I'm sure I will. I will. Wait. I hear a voice calling my name. They just told me I am a good and a faithful servant and that I should enter into eternal life. Wow. That's just like I remember reading about in the parable of the talents. I wonder what my responsibilities will be. I wonder where on the earth I might be sent to serve. I know it really doesn't matter where I go, but I know this. I see a lot of pain, and I see a lot of shock in people's eyes. They need comfort. They need explanation as to what they have seen and what the future holds for them. I know it's that way around the entire earth. I sure am looking forward to teaching others about the way of life that brings true peace and true prosperity. The way of life that I learned about for so many years in the church. I can't wait until Satan is bound and cast down and we can get started. How much fun it's going to be without Satan's whisperings of deception. I can't wait to get started. Let's move to the second resurrection. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 20. As we begin there, we are reminded that what I just expressed to you is Josh Berenson. He is the first resurrection. Let's move to the second resurrection here. Revelation chapter 20. Notice in verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. That inset part in verse 5 is what is critical. But the rest of the dead, those that were not resurrected in that first resurrection, those who did not have an understanding of God and his way of life, are resurrected to a physical resurrection. Notice verses 11 and 12. "Then I saw a great white throne with him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. We have an understanding that the very words of life that you and I have on our laps today or on our devices is something that is given to us. It has been opened to us, but it will be opened again to those who did not have that understanding. How do we know that? Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's begin in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. He says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and sat me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O God, Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Billions of human beings have never heard the word of the true God." Here we find a time in the second resurrection where they will. "Thus says," verse 5, "thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." Resurrection. Standing. This is again speaking of the second resurrection. Verse 11, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" We have the second instance here where they are told, these dry bones that come to life are told that they will know their God. Verse 14, "I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." What will that moment in time be like? What will it look like? What will those people witness? What will the valley of dry bones see? What will they hear? What will they experience? Let's ask Jim Simpson. "My name is Jim Simpson. I am the second resurrection. Wood splinters, glass breaks, dirt flies in the air. Where am I? I remember getting cancer and I died. I was buried here in the family cemetery along with my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. Wait, somebody just came along and talked to me. I asked if this was heaven. That's what I had been taught in the Baptist church. They told me that heaven doesn't exist. I said, how is that possible? I thought that heaven is the reward of the saved. And I was saved long ago when at the age of 7 years, I gave my heart to the Lord. Wow, they're all my relatives. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, even my great-grandparents that I was too young to really know. Dad, can you believe this? There's no heaven. Was what I was taught in Sunday school at the Baptist church all these years wrong? Were what we taught by our minister all those years, was it an error? These people keep coming around and answer my questions. They sure are helpful. I asked what would happen next. They said we'd have more instruction this Saturday at Sabbath services. I asked them what the Sabbath was. They explained it. I said, don't you mean Sunday? No, they said, and they laid it out for me. Wow, Mom, we've been wrong all these years. We've been keeping Sunday rather than Saturday. They said more information will be explained, specifically about the present, the future, and our destiny. It sounds interesting. It sounds a little intriguing. I definitely have a few more questions. And the person keeps reading these answers from the Bible as I ask these questions. This is amazing. There are things that have been here all along in the Bible that I'm reading before that just never made sense to me before, but now they do. Boy, I'm hungry to hear more. I can't wait to be in services this coming Saturday and learn more. My name is Jim Simpson, and I am the second resurrection. Those individuals that will come to life in that second resurrection, those that are witnessed again by what we read in the Valley of the Dry Bones. Some indications are there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 150 billion human beings from the time of existence to now that have died. How many people will be resurrected in that second resurrection? It will be a tremendous resurrection to life of a number of human beings, individuals that have never known, and as we read in Ezekiel chapter 37, have never really understood their God. They're going to have that opportunity, like we have as first fruits in God's family. Let's move to the third resurrection. Notice over in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Here we find a statement that is made again in Scripture that speaks to two points that we want to make with regards to the resurrections. Notice Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." What does everlasting mean? It means forever. It means that there is no second chance. What verse 2 tells us here in chapter 12 is that this time coming, for those that are asleep, that some will be raised to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We, at this point, don't know who those individuals are. There is a judgment that is yet to come, just as we understand a judgment upon all mankind. Notice over in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to pick up one verse here in John chapter 5. Actually, let's pick up two verses. I misspoke. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 28. We're going to break into the middle of his thought here. As again, Jesus Christ is speaking. He's talking about those who hear his word and believe in him and that he has been sent again for everlasting life. There's a statement that is made here in two verses. Notice carefully, John chapter 5 and verse 28. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." So here we have a promise from Jesus Christ that it does not matter when the person died. It does not matter how they died. It doesn't matter, again, the manner in which they died. We know and understand that every person will hear his voice. It does not mean that they will all be in a first resurrection. As we've already seen, based upon the scripture that I've given you for the first resurrection, and based upon the scripture that I've given you with regards to the second resurrection. Again, the latter half of verse 28, in which all in the graves will hear his voice. Verse 29, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You know, we have a problem sometimes. And again, I addressed this many weeks ago in a sermon that I gave, if you remember, on judging righteous judgment. That oftentimes people will not judge because they believe that that word is synonymous with condemnation. That is not the case. You can judge righteous judgment on a situation. In other words, have critical think with regard to a situation to determine whether or not it is right or whether or not it is wrong. Here we find a situation in which Jesus Christ talks about a resurrection of condemnation. Now, is that the first resurrection? Well, that would not be the case. Because as we've already seen, the first resurrection is dealing with the first fruits of God. That's not a resurrection to condemnation. Condemnation is death. The second resurrection we find, again, is a resurrection in which the sinew, in which the breath is put into them, in which they're given God's Holy Spirit, in which they're told and they're given the ability to understand God. Well, that's not a resurrection to condemnation. So what we're finding here is there has to be a third resurrection. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And notice verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6. And notice verse 4. What is this resurrection to condemnation? Notice closely what is stated here. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. So here we have a key of the resurrection of condemnation. It tells us again, the statement is being made, that if they were once enlightened, in other words, if there was a calling that existed, if they answered that calling, and somewhere along the way they rejected it, if you reject it and you understand and you know, but you reject it, as I've said before, it's not like a mulligan in golf. I'll hit a bad shot, I'll just throw down another ball and take another shot. Too bad for the first resurrection, I'll just try and pick it up and do better in the second resurrection. It does not work that way. If an individual truly has been enlightened, now, this is, again, the statement that we get into. We come back to an understanding of the falling away of so many individuals back in the early 90s in the Church of God. And we always ask the question, how is it possible? How is it possible that someone could be doing something for decades and suddenly just stop doing it? Not in a matter of months, not in a matter of years, but overnight. Is it possible they were never enlightened? On the other hand, we know that individuals at some point have left the church. I've witnessed a situation of an individual that left the church for 20 years and just recently came back to the church. Now, at one particular moment in time, I might have been, from a humanly reasoning standpoint, saying, they were enlightened, they rejected it, condemnation, death. I would have been wrong. I would have been wrong. We're talking about a specific situation here, and those that understand, they know, and they still reject it. Notice over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's couple this along with what we just read in chapter 6 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, and notice verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Every human being on the face of the earth is now or a future member of the family of God. We are now members of the family of God awaiting the fullness of birth at the return of Jesus Christ. Every human being that has been born, that has died, that has ever lived, that ever will live, will have an opportunity. Here we find a statement that is made that every one of them will be judged. We will be judged. We are being judged now. Verse 31, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. We come to understand that there is a time in which the sin is willful. Now, what does it mean to willfully sin? Does it mean that we don't all fall short at times? Does it mean that we don't all do things and we simply say, why did I do that? We're talking about a situation where an individual knows that it's sin, they understand that it's sin, they say, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. And I don't care what the consequences are. That, I would submit to you, is willfully sinning. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Notice beginning here in verse 13. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13. We come to a timeline, remember? We have just spoken in the previous verses here in chapter 20 about the first resurrection. In verse 5, we talked about that second resurrection where the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now we come to something else. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Notice again that you cannot escape it. There is judgment for every human being on the face of the earth. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pick it up in chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, and notice verses 7 and 8. He says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Grandma Lucille died a first death. Uncle Chester died a first death. At some point, they will be resurrected in whatever resurrection, based upon their lives and their circumstances, God chooses to resurrect them in. Let's look at one other passage of Scripture, Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, notice beginning in verse 1. Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He says, and for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, utterly destroyed. Notice carefully the symbolism that Malachi is using. Neither root nor branch. Nothing. You see a farmer who will go in and he will burn fence rows in an agricultural community if he owns land. He will burn those fence rows, but ultimately he doesn't get to the roots because those roots, again, are protected and those weeds or that grass will then pop back up. This is a fire that is coming that we are told here will burn up root and branch. nothing left. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise, or shall arise, with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. What will this moment in time be like? Well, let's ask Jeff Danielson. My name is Jeff Danielson. I am the third resurrection. Wood splinters, glass breaks, dirt flies in the air. So this is my judgment. Who cares? I first became acquainted with what supposedly was the truth back in 1990. I got baptized because it seemed to make sense at the time. I lived that way of life for a number of years, but after a while I saw God and I saw His truth as just a joke. I reject it all. Live on into eternity? Give me a break. Yes, I know who God is. Yes, I know His truth. And yes, I know that it is His law. But I reject it all. I want no part of it whatsoever. Hey, it's getting warm. No, it's getting hot. Is this supposed to scare me? Because it doesn't. I don't. Everything goes black for Jeff Danielson. He has met his maker, and he has received that resurrection of condemnation, his final judgment. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. What is the conclusion of the matter? What is it that I am trying to do and have you learn in this sermon on the resurrections? Because essentially it is a sermon that you would sit there and you would simply say, well, wouldn't this be a message that is better suited to the fall? Wouldn't it be a message that is better suited to the holy days, the fall holy days? Wouldn't it be a message that is better suited to the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day? Isn't this a message that really would be better fitted and better served to be told at that time? And what does this really have to do with us? What is the purpose? What is the conclusion of the matter? What have I tried to explain to all of us today? Brethren, it is simply this. Josh Berenson is real. He is just as real as the food that you ate and the water that you drank today. What happened to him will happen to some. Jim Simpson is real. He is just as real as the air you breathe and the sensations that you have from this human existence. What happened to him will happen to some. Jeff Danielson is real. He is as real as the sun coming up in the sky every morning and setting every evening. What happened to him will happen to some. You see, when you look at the three resurrections, they are all about two things. The three resurrections have one common thread. They are about life and death. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. The statement is clear. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Brethren, the resurrections are real. All three of those individuals are real. All three all of mankind will fit into one of those three categories in some point in the future.